everybody. Welcome to the furtherance of Sunday morning, Wings of Wings Christian Fellowship. I've been on sabbatical here. Wings Christian Fellowship. We used to be called Wings of Deliverance.
Oh, so interesting. Yeah.
Mm. And today we are in 1 Thessalonians. And I'd like somebody to start with a word of prayer. John, would you like to?
Our Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us here this morning. We thank you for protecting us the whole week.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We thank you for giving us a blessing. And Lord, we are here to hear what you're going to teach us. Please open our hearts and understanding that we might hear you saying through your words. Yes. Oh Lord, I pray that everything that is going to be said here that may be kept in our hearts, and that we might do what is your word tell us to do. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen.
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 Amen. Well, I listened to last week.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good.
Yeah. Long time not see you.
Good. Thank you.
Welcome back again.
Back from the recently deceased. This morning, I did listen to last week, and I know that you were talking about your election, and you were talking a lot about God does things in threes, and I didn't know if there was anything else that you would be interested in talking about in there. Did you read the entire first chapter last week?
Yes.
Okay. So we can either go on to chapter 2 and talk about, in this Bible over here it says, chapter 2 talks about the godly character of the servants of God. So that would be something we can start with. Or if there's anything, there were two things that kind of jumped out at me when I was reading. And if it's something you wanted to go over or not, in Second Peter, I think, it talks about making our calling and election sure, which would be another, if we could read through there, we could find walks. You know, Peter seemed to think he knew how we could make our calling and election sure. Mm-hmm. We could look at that. And I also saw something in Hosea chapter 6 that talked about the threes as well, the first day, the second day, and on the third day. It had to do with, on the third day, he would raise us up, which is a little bit different. It's similar, but a little bit different to, you know, I will, you know, that he, as Christ, would be crucified and die and buried, and on the third day, he would rise up from the dead. So I don't know. Those were just two things that popped into my head when I was listening to that. If anyone wants to talk about any of those things, we can, or we can go on to chapter 2.
Why don't we read it? I think the scripture you named. Why don't we read the scripture you named?
Oh,
2 Peter.
2 Peter.
Yeah, 2 Peter 1.
Let's see if I can find it. Let me get in here.
And then the Hosea. I think it'd be
okay. Good. Let's see if there's a code. Sorry. I did it by searching, calling, and election, because I knew those two words were in the verse that I was looking at. It is 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10. So, how about if we just read 2 Peter chapter 1, and we will go through 15. Who would like to read it?
I'll read. Okay. This is 2 Peter chapter 1, and read 1 through 15.
Yeah, read through 15. We'll see if it kind of covers that. The calling and election verse is 10, so if we go to 15.
This is out of the Amplified. Simon Peter, servant and apostle, faithful messenger of Jesus Christ, to those who have received, obtained, and equal privilege of like precious faith with ourselves in and through the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. May grace, God's favor, and peace, which is perfect well-being, all necessary good, all spiritual prosperity, and freedom from fears and agitating passions and moral conflicts be multiplied to you in the full, personal, precise, and correct knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, for his divine power has bestowed upon us all things that are requisite and suited to life and godliness through the full personal knowledge of him who has called us by and to his own glory and excellence virtue.
Now, wait, one word, called. Mm-hmm. He's saying he called us. That's our calling.
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
By means of these, he has bestowed on us his precious and exceeding great promises, so that through them you may escape by flight from the moral decay, rottenness, and corruption that is in the world because of covetousness, lust, and greed, and become sharers, partakers of the divine nature. Mm-hmm. For this very reason, adding your diligence to divine promises, employ every effort in exercising your faith to develop virtue, excellence, resolution, Christian energy, and in exercising virtue, develop knowledge and intelligence, and in exercising knowledge, develop self-control, and in exercising self-control, develop steadfastness, patience, endurance, and in exercising steadfastness, develop godliness. Don't you see how that's all a process?
Yes.
You know, process. And in exercising godliness, develop brotherly love, and in exercising brotherly love, develop Christian love. For as these qualities are yours and increasingly abound in you, they will keep you from being idle or unfruitful into the full personal knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. For whoever lacks these qualities is blind, spiritually, short-sighted, has become oblivious to the fact that he was cleansed from his old sins. And because of this, brethren, be all the more solicitous, is that how solicitous? And eager to make sure, to ratify, to strengthen, to make steadfast your calling and election. For if you do this, you will never stumble or fall. Thus, therefore, be richly and abundantly provided for you entry into eternal kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. So I intend always to remind you about these things, although indeed you know them and are firm in truth and that you now hold. I think it right, as long as I am in this tabernacle, this tent, this body, to stir you up by way of remembrance. And since I know that the laying aside of the body and mind will come speedily, as our Lord Jesus Christ made clear to me. Moreover, I will diligently endeavor to see to it that even after my departure and decease, that you may be able at all times to call these things to mind. That is,
okay.
And he's telling you right there, God's already let him know about his leaving, his decision.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that was through 15.
That was good. Huh?
You know, what this says to me is before earlier when we said, yes, he called us. He has called us. We have been elected or selected. We've been selected, we've been called. And then it says to make our calling and election sure. And the way that I see that is that because of the fleshly body that we live in, we're always messing up. You know, we just do. Those things that we would do, we don't do. Those things that we think we should do, you know, those things that we shouldn't do, we do. And it causes us to have worry, and it causes us to think that our calling and election is not sure. I don't believe that's true. I believe our calling and election is sure. It is the pulling of this fleshly world that we live in and the pulling of our body that makes us unsure sometimes of our calling and election. So I see that faith, trust in God, and is so much more important in making our calling and election sure than any physical thing that we need to do. Except it does say exercise. You know, exercise to make your calling and election sure. You know, add knowledge and temperance, and to add to your temperance, patience, add to your patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. And if these things be in you and abound in you, they make you that ye shall stand, that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful. Wow, in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And everything that I read in here tells me that this is an inward working, not an outward working. Mm-hmm. You see what I mean? When I find myself submitting my soul to the Spirit, submitting my will to His will, yes. Submitting, you know, and that to me is what the exercise is, that it's all interior. This body is not us. This is a flesh suit that we as the children of God are wearing at this time. You know, it is more the things going on inside of us, the growth, the spiritual growth, the understanding, the patience, the brotherly kindness. Those things don't come easily to the flesh world. Selfishness comes to the flesh world, you know. Get my way or the highway comes to us in the flesh world. And the more that we exercise to keep our calling and election sure, it's faith, it's trust in God, it's trust that in these words God said He has called us, He has done the work, He is all and working in all. And when I keep my mind stayed on Him, His work, what, you know, and keep my will, oh, that will, you know, smack it down, keep it in submission to God's will. Perfect peace comes to me. And there's no worry about my calling or my election. So, I, you know, that's what I've got on that. That's the way that struck me. That just keep that fleshly thing separate from the real work that's going on inside of our hearts and our minds, our souls and our spirit.
Well, this place is just like packed with so many stuff. Where he says, I think it's verse 4, to partake the nature of God.
Oh, yeah.
Which is like something that we, we like to know more about, maybe partaking the nature of God. Not being in the flesh nature or whatever, the natural nature, whatever. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it has a lot of things now that are very interesting.
Yeah, yeah. And in verse 4, I love that it says, whereby are given to us that he has called us. He has called us to glory and virtue. That's in verse 3. Whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises. We already have these exceedingly great and precious promises. That by these promises that we've already been given, by these, you might be partakers of the divine nature.
Right.
We've already been given it. We've already been called. We've already been chosen. He chose us. You know, that we may be partakers of the divine nature, and that's exactly having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And that's the physical, that's that you know, flesh. That's that flesh. It's been given to us to escape that. We escape that corruption. You know, and what were we talking about in, was it Ephesians, right before we finished Ephesians? Corruption can't put on incorruption. Mortality, you know, immortality can't put on mortality. We have been called and we have been given, you know. So, to rest in that, and then just to exercise.
What it actually says is that we have to put that on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this mortal must put on immortality.
Yes.
And this, you know, we have to put it on. And, you know, the question being, how do you put it on?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And really, the answer being that you acknowledge him in all your ways.
Mm-hmm.
You begin to believe what his word declares. His word declares that he's given you these things. But when he's talking up here in verse 3 and 4, what he's saying here is, says, according to the divine power, he has given us all things. All things. How many is all things?
All.
That's all things. That pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge, through the knowing of him, through the intimate relationship with him. And he hath called us unto glory and virtue. And I was just looking up. I'm pretty sure the word glory there is probably the word doxa, which means something as being very apparent.
It
you
is.
Know, very apparent.
It is doxa.
And the next word there for virtue also has the meaning of manliness, if you look at it. And, you know, in other words, don't act like a little baby. Don't act like a little kid. You know what I mean? You know, excuse me, when it tells us that we need to come to, in Ephesians, it tells us that we need to come to the unity of the faith unto a really mature man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be not tossed to and fro by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness wherein they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, we might grow up into him in all things. And see, that's what we need to desire above all things, the truth. We need to ask the Lord, you know, to help us move into the truth. The truth is not a thing. The truth is a person. It's Jesus Christ, because he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other truth other than Jesus. All things were made by him, for him, without him, and not anything made that was made. He's in control of everything. So when we realize that he is the truth, and we have to realize that Scripture tells us we're complete in him. And that goes back to what we've been saying in the last few weeks about, you know, we've been preaching and teaching for years, Christ in you, the hope of glory. But the full circle of that is when we come to the realization that in him we live and move and have our being. And we have to acknowledge that we're in him too, see. And when we begin to truly acknowledge that and truly realize the revelation of that, then what happens is that we begin to take a hold of all of these things here. You know, when it comes down and says, and giving all diligence to add to your faith, you know, the definition that I have for word faith is believing in the truth or the truthfulness of God. And Scripture says, let God be true and every man be what?
A liar.
A liar. And if we believe anything other than him, we're believing a lie, see? And when it says virtue, virtue means manliness, and to virtue knowledge. In other words, you know, being manly, you know, in the natural, we think of somebody being manly, big, tough, rough guy, you know. That's not really true. The perfect example of being a man was Jesus Christ. He was the ultimate man because he was God in flesh. So when we come to realize who and what he was and how he reacted to things, you know, he walked in love. He walked in forgiveness. He walked in all of those kind of things. That's what a true man does, see. You know, he doesn't push his will above everybody else's, you know. He considers other people above himself, you know, things like that. But, you know, and you know, and it goes on and it talks about knowledge and to knowledge temperance. And you know, having worked in a machine shop, we used to temper metal, you know. And you know how you temper something? You heat it up till it's red hot. And then you stick it in a well or water. And when you do that, it changes the molecular structure of that metal. It gets harder. And it makes it's tempered. And when something's tempered, it won't break as easy, it's stronger, it's you know, but it takes fire to do that. And God, a lot of times when we pray for these things, if we want our life to be tempered, expect the fire to come. There's gonna come some fire. And when that fire comes, then there's only one person that can quench the fire, and that's God. He lets the fire come around our lives, and then yet he also tempers us. He will either stick us in the oil, which would be type of the anointing, or he'll stick us in the water, which is a type of the word, you know.
That's good.
And you know, what will happen after that is it creates patience. How do you get patience? Have you ever prayed for patience?
Yeah.
Read Romans the 5th chapter. Tribulation works patience.
Yes.
Expect tribulation. That's how you're going to learn patience. Tribulation works patience. Patience is experience. And experience makes us not ashamed because what? The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. See? And it all goes back to what? To love. And that's the culminating feature in all these things. And we need to ask ourselves sometimes when we're dealing with situations, am I dealing with this in love? Am I really showing love in this situation? And I tell you what, a lot of times we'll find, no, we're not. You know, we're being wanting our way, like Kathy was saying, or we're being overbearing or something like that. And there's you know, love will cover a multitude of sins.
Yes.
And if you love someone, you'll want to cover them, not expose them. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Not make them look less than what they are, you know.
And in the James chapter 1 verse 4 it says, but let patience have her own perfect work.
Yeah.
Yes.
Let me read that. You're talking about James, the first chapter?
Yes.
Can I read that, Kathy, out
yes.
of the J.D. Phillips?
Yes.
Okay. I don't want to overstep here, let's see. Okay, I've got it in here, so I'll pull it up. Let's see. It'll take me a minute to get it, so hang with me for a second. Phillips, I mean James, let's see. Just a second. Okay, James, first chapter. I'm going to read this to you now. This is out of the J.B. Phillips translation. It says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, sends greetings to the 12 dispersed tribes. It says, now listen, when all kinds of trials and temptations crowd into your life, my brothers, don't resent them as intruders, but welcome them as friends. Do we do that? Do we do that?
No,
most of the time we don't do that.
No, we don't.
Don't resent them as intruders, but welcome them as friends, realizing that they come to test your faith and to produce in you the quality of endurance. But let the process go on until that endurance is fully developed, and you will find you have become men of mature character with the right sort of independence. And if in the process any of you does not meet any particular problem, he only has to ask God, who gives generously to all men without making them feel foolish or guilty, and he may be quite sure that the necessary wisdom will be given him, but he must ask in sincere faith without secret doubts as to whether he really wants God's help or not. And sometimes we have to be honest. Sometimes in certain situations, we don't want God's help. We want to stay mad. We want to do all this stuff.
Wallow in it.
Yeah, we do sometimes. But you know, but listen to the rest of this. Without secret doubts whether he wants God's help or not. The man who trusts God with inward reservations is like the wave of a sea, carried forward by the wind one moment and driven back the next. That sort of man cannot hope to receive anything from God, and in the life of a man of divided loyalty will reveal instability at every turn. Okay? Now listen to this. Brother who is poor may be glad because God has called him to true riches. The rich may be glad that God has shown him his spiritual poverty, for the rich man, as such, will wither away as surely as the summer flowers. One day the sunrise brings a scorching wind and grass weather at once, and so all the flowers, all that lovely sight is destroyed. But just surely will the rich man in all the extravagant ways fall into bright decay. And listen to this. It says the man who patiently endures temptations and trials that come to him is truly a happy man. For once he is tested, his testing is complete, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to all who love him. A man must not say when he is tempted, God is tempting me. God doesn't tempt you. He doesn't tempt anybody. But he allows you to be tempted. He doesn't allow you to do that. For God has no dealings with evil and does not himself tempt anyone. No, a man's temptation is due to the pull of his own inward desires, which can be erroneously attractive. His own desires take hold of him and produce sin, and sin in the long run means death. Make no mistake that, my brothers of mine, but every good endowment that we possess and every complete gift we have received comes from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there is never a slightest variance or shadow of inconsistency. Mm-hmm. By his own wish, he made us his own sons, mm-hmm, through the word of truth, that we might be, so to speak, the first specimens of his new creation. And says, in view of what he has made us, brethren dear, let everyone be quick to listen, but slow to use his tongue, and slow to lose his temper. For man's temper is never the means of achieving God's true goodness. Have done this within impunity, and every other evil which touches the lives of others, and humbly accept the message that God has sown in our hearts, which can save your souls. Don't, I beg you, only hear the message, but put it into practice. Otherwise, you are merely deluding yourself. The man who simply hears and does nothing about it is like a man catching the reflection of his own face in a mirror. He sees himself and is truly, but he goes on, and whatever he was doing without the slightest recollection of what sort of person he saw in the mirror.
Yeah.
But the man who, you know, the funny thing, you guys all familiar with Michael Jackson?
Yeah.
You familiar with the song he had years ago? I'm looking at the man in the mirror. It's funny because even people who don't really claim to know God, the Spirit of God inside of them causes them to say things that really are scriptural truths. I'm looking at the man in the mirror, that song that he had. And basically, that's what we all need to do. I remember Preston Eby coming one time, and you know, he was talking about sonship and all that kind of stuff. And he said, I get up in the morning, and he said, I go in the bathroom, and I turn on the light, and I go to my mirror, you know, and shave, you know, and stuff. And he says, and I look in there, and I say, Eby, you're a son of God. You don't look like a son of God, but you're a son of God. You know?
That's funny.
And you know, we have to begin to claim what God's word declares about us.
Amen.
But when those trials and things crowd into our lives, it says don't look at them as intruders, but welcome them as friends. That is a really hard thing to do. You have to really ask the Lord to help you tremendously in that.
That's
because
right.
When things are going wrong and all this stuff is happening, you have to say, Lord, thank you that these things, and I did learn to say years ago, and I don't do it all the time, but I should, because I know to do it. Whenever I find myself in a bad situation and I don't know how to handle it, a lot of times I'll say to the Lord, Lord, what are you trying to teach me in this situation? Because I found out that once you learn the lesson, whatever God's trying to teach you, then the necessity of being taught whatever's teaching you, which can be a bad situation in your life, then the necessity of that staying there is it don't need to stay there anymore, because you've learned the lesson. You've learned what you needed to learn. And if we just would realize that, and most of our problems are self-induced. We cause them to happen ourselves. It isn't other people really causing this to happen. It's usually ourselves, you know. But anyway, that's all I had to say.
Sean asked the question before, how do we learn to partake in more in God?
Yes.
Yeah.
And it brings me back to something that I did 25 years ago, and is for my 50th birthday, I thought I was going to be a superstar and I was going to run a marathon. So I came home one night and I told her, and she said, you must be out of your mind. but I started out, you know, when you use the word partake, that's an action word. You can't do anything, you know, by yourself. You have to put something into it. And one of the things I'd learned when I started training is, if you run 2 miles and you get comfortable at 2 miles, that means you are right, you can run 4. If you run 4 and get comfortable at 4, it means you can run 8. If you run 10, you can run 20. And that's how we partake in the Lord. The more we get into the Word, and the more we practice our daily talk with the Lord, that's how we're partaking into getting closer to Him. You know, if I read a chapter in the Bible, the thing I need to do next day is redo. You know, because, and as we get to reading it and we get into trying to understand it, we're partaking in His Word and we're partaking in what He has available for us. And the more, that's how we look at, for me anyhow, I look at it as that's how I get closer to the Word and how I learn more about it. You know, and I think Oscar said it right, you know, sometimes we don't want to really listen, you know. We just want to do it ourselves. But, and I'm like him. I say it to him all the time. Lord, what are you trying to tell me here? You know? And it's just, for me, it's like anything else in life. It's practice, practice, practice. We have to practice the things that we know to get closer to the Lord. I'm done.
Can I?
That's how we partake.
Can I read this one more time? And I know it's hard for this to really sink into our lives, you know. This is James chapter 1, it's there again. And it basically says this, it says, and this is starting with verse 2, and then goes through verse 8. And this is in the Phillips translation, when all kinds of trials and temptations crowd into your lives, my brothers, don't resent them as intruders, but welcome them as friends. Realize that they come to test your faith and to produce in you the quality of endurance. But let the process go on until the endurance is fully developed, and you will find that you become men of a mature character, which is the right sort of independence. And if in the process any of you does not know how to meet any particular problem, he has only to ask God, who gives generously to all men without making them feel foolish or guilty. And he can be quite sure that the necessary wisdom will be given him, but he must ask in sincere faith, without doubt, secret doubts, as to whether he really wants God's help or not. And you know, we have to realize that, and you know, we have to realize that until we acknowledge God in each situation and each circumstance, we're not really having that fellowship with him that we should have, you know. And a lot of times what we tend to do in the natural is we want to grab the bull by the horns and try to change it ourselves, you know, change the situation or change what's happening. And a lot of times we need to do like Mike was saying, like I said before, we need to say, Lord, what are you trying to teach me out of this situation? And I believe when you do that, you're acknowledging that he's in control of you and the situation, because he really is. It isn't that he's tempted you, but he has allowed you to be tempted. He knew your nature, that it would rise up and temptation would be there. And, you know, and that's how we begin to bring him into every situation, you know. I invite him to come in and be Lord in that situation. Because otherwise, we're trying to just, like I say, grab the bull by the horns and wrestle it to the ground ourselves. And usually what we tend to do when we do that is we make a mess out of it or make it worse a lot of times, you know.
Well, the other thing that happened to me when I was doing that is I broke down a shoe and my knees would hurt and I had to quit. Remember, I couldn't hardly walk for about a week. I couldn't hardly, right in the middle of training to do all this stuff. And once I got the shoe straightened out, it was like nothing happened. I went right back to where I was. I didn't lose anything. Isn't that what life's about? We got, like Oscar saying, you get stuff coming in your life and you forget to turn it over to the Lord. You're not, you know. As soon as you realize that, you turn it back over, you don't miss a step. You're right back where you were. And you can move on.
What's that old saying about it's not the walk that keeps you from going the distance, it's the grain of sand in your shoe or the little pebble in your shoe.
Yeah.
You know, that's the thing that'll stop you in a minute, you know.
Well, the interesting, she'll even tell you, I ran 26 miles. About two thirds of the way through, I ran it. I came around, and there was a guy walking, and he looked like he was going to go down. And I stopped, and I said, "Are you okay?" And we walked for a while, and we just talked, you know. And he said, "Well, I'm here with a church group. We're running this thing, and you know, and I walked with him for probably half a mile, maybe. And he said, "I'm okay. Go ahead." And after I got done, I ran the last mile, was the fastest mile I ran. You know, and it's just the way the Lord, you know, I didn't even pay any attention. I just did it because I thought I was trying to help the guy. But you know, when I look back at it now,
it was
inspired, you know? I mean, you know, I look at it now as God gave me an extra burst of energy. And because I did something that I thought was the right thing to do. And that's how we partake in the Lord, I think. You do something that you wouldn't normally do, and all of a sudden, boom, you know?
Well, think about what happened there, because you stopped and helped someone else. God allowed you, he invigorated you to run better than you did before.
That's right.
Because of what, you know, you preferred a brother above yourself.
That's right.
And something became more important than you finishing the race, you know, and you know what I mean.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
It's neat how God does that stuff, though. That's the way life is, you know.
But you know, let me just kind of change just a tad. The other little in Hosea chapter 6 that I was talking about at the beginning. Mm-hmm. We've been talking all morning now about you know, count it all joy when you come into temptations and trouble. And so I just flipped over. I thought, well, maybe I'll just touch on this other thing, which was about God does things in threes. But the verse right before that, Hosea 6:1 says, come, let us return to the Lord, for he hath torn us, and he will heal us.
That's why
he hath smitten, and he will bind us up. There is nothing to be afraid of. As a matter of fact, isn't it true that in exercising, the tearing of muscles, the damaging of the muscle, the ripping it up a little bit here and there, and then having a day of, it makes them stronger. It makes you stronger. You know, and you know, our grandson is a swimmer, and he has a problem with his shoulder right now, and he has to take a break, and he doesn't like it. You know, he doesn't like this, but you know, the doctor said, you know, your growth plates are still active. You're going to grow another 2 or 4 inches, and your body is telling you that you're pushing this one muscle just a little bit beyond its endurance right now. You have to take a rest. And you know, in doing those exercises, because he exercises like crazy every single day, you know, it's in that healing and exercise, stopping and healing and going. Come, let us return to the Lord, for he has torn us, and he will heal us. He has smitten, and he will bind us up. And then verse 2 says, after 2 days, he will revive us. And didn't we say everything in threes? Mm-hmm. This is it. This is the third day. After 2 days, he will revive us. In the third day, he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. Hallelujah. I think that somehow
that
all goes
for sight there, if you look at the original text, it means in his face.
In his face.
You'll live in his face.
Then,
that's a little different than just in his sight. Sight can be a long distance away. In his face, I mean, you're right up in his face. You know.
Then it says, verse 3 says, then shall we know.
Yeah.
When? After he has torn us and healed us.
Yeah.
And after he has raised us up on the third day, then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. You know, that's the whole thing. I think that we've been subjected to this fleshly thing so that we will learn to know the Lord through experience, through relationship. Because we've been, some things have been taken away from us that would give us the ability to know the Lord in other ways. We need to grovel through the dust and the muck and the mire and the dirt and learn to know the Lord for ourselves through relationship. Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. His going forth is prepared. His going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and the former rain unto the earth. Hello, earth. I just think when we listen to God and follow his will, and somehow it all seems to come together, doesn't it? if we be still and know, if we learn how to sit and wait upon the Lord, not always be trying to do something to fix it.
We used to sing a song, "It's beginning to rain, 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 hear the voice of the Father."
Yes.
He said, "Whosoever will come drink of this water." You remember that song? Mm-hmm. Yes, that's a great song.
Pour his spirit out
to his sons and his daughters. Yeah. And any the rain in Scripture is always talking about the Word of God.
If you're thirsty and dry,
look
up to the sky.
Yep. Yep.
Hallelujah. Anybody got anything else? We're getting close to the end.
I just, seeing through all of this, is seeing the processings, you know, of God. Mm-hmm. And us opening ourselves more to Him. And out of this, it enlarges our relationship with Him, which enlarges us and growing us up in Him. Because I know He's spoken to me many times, what you give yourself to, you become. And as we so give ourselves to Him and spend time with Him and pray with Him and look unto Him, He speaks to so many things. Using those we come in contact with, He's ever speaking to us, and I'm just so wanting to be on that wavelength that I am hearing and knowing His voice and how that we are becoming as Him. Mm-hmm. Yes, just the process this way. You know, it's not a right now and you're going to be perfect or anything, but it's yielding unto His hand, who is molding us and who is in the fire and in, like you're saying, temperance, you know, the temperance and what He is doing and being subject to it and being accepting, you know, to it and learning from
Him.
Yes.
Jesus. Volunteer to close in prayer.
Yes.
Go with it.
Father, we just thank you for your word.
Yes,
and
Jesus.
And for all this that we have in front of us, Lord, you've given us friends, family, but first of all, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Father, we just thank you for your mercy and your grace and your love. And everybody here that heard your word and that spoke of your word and that's taken to heart your word, let's all agree in one accord. You do the praise and the glory. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.